KSCU Santa Clara presents. Two nerds answering the call to become KSCU DJs. Join them now on this incredible journey.
It's a trap!
Great Scott!
New powers rising!
I got a bad feeling about this.
You will never find in the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
There is no escape.
You will be assimilated.
Let me do. It is useless to resist.
Resistance is futile.
You will be deleted.
Exterminate!
Prepare for battle.
Exterminate!
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
We're doomed.
That's right, you are listening to Robots Attack. We are the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is Super Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And we are here to hopefully entertain you on this Thursday evening with news of video games and movies and TV and other wacky news out there that isn't that stuff as well. My normal other co-host, Caleb, is still off in the land down under with his lovely wife. And hopefully he will be back safe and sound next Thursday to regale us with grandiose adventure stories of doing walkabouts and all that sort of stuff.
At least two is what I'm hoping.
Yeah. So look forward to Caleb returning next week, so we can have our actual, like, full-on regular show.
Right.
We'll have, you know, plenty of...
This is sort of like the episode 0.5 of the show. And episode one is going to be...
It's kind of sad. It's like he went to Australia, like, right as we, like, just got, like, here's the new schedule. We're starting up. Like, here's the new time and everything. Oh, great. My co-host is going to be gone for the first two shows. Hopefully.
Well, it fits with school in general. I mean, everybody's gearing up. They're getting used to their classes and whatnot.
That's true.
We fit right in here.
Yeah. It makes sense. And, you know, I mean, it's not like it'd be like, no, you can't go to Australia. You have to do this.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you're getting paid the big bucks. So.
Right.
So, but anyway, yeah, hopefully he'll be back next week all safe and sound, and he'll travel through time because of the time zone differences and all that stuff, and he'll be here. So until that time, Super Jason and I will entertain you as best we can.
Hold down the fort.
Yep. And we'll start off by having Super Jason tell us how he's been, if he's done anything exciting or...
I've been playing a ton of Borderlands and...
Borderlands 2, I assume, right?
Yes, of course. The second installment. And yeah, it's pretty. I love how they've improved practically every aspect of that game, and it's the side quests are generating so much genuine joy for me right now. It's kind of ludicrous.
yeah. The writing on that is pretty awesome. It has. Plenty of pop culture references, as well as just, like, clever dialogue.
Oh, yeah. Like, one fairly early on, I don't think it's ruining too much, but it's just an entire thing filled with Top Gun references.
Yeah.
it's pretty awesome seeing bandits running around looking like Iceman with the silvered glasses and shirts off, trying to act all cool like they're in the beach scene or something.
Now, because you have four different characters to choose from. What have you chosen to go with as your first playthrough?
Oh, I'm doing Salvador the Gunzerker. Honestly, the one thing that I'm kind of disappointed with so far is it doesn't seem like they've really done a whole lot with my character's backstory. Like, I managed to scavenge up all of the echoes that are supposed to flesh out, like, where he came from and whatnot. And it didn't really add that too much to him, I think. It seems like, in a weird sort of way, they're doing kind of the same thing that they did in the last game, but they're improving on it in a weird sort of way. They're not really concentrating on the characters all that much, but because now they can play around with the previous line of characters, they have really cool stories with them.
Mm, yeah.
And all of the side stuff with him is really good. But yeah, I'm hoping it'll bring together a little bit more stuff. I didn't even know about, like, scavenging the echo recordings for my character until I managed to scavenge all of the ones for Maya, and I thought they were actually really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I need to find a lot more of the character stuff. Because, yeah, it's weird in that game, you can stumble across one because they're hidden in pretty tiny little places a lot of the time, and then you realize that you should be looking for an entire series of them.
Yeah. On my playthrough, I'm doing the commando and I'm liking that so far. So, I haven't really stumbled across anything to mention much about himself, but.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, it's been solid. Have you done anything else, watched anything, or?
I'm a little bit behind on this, but with the powers of Netflix, I finally got through it. I had the series Hell on Wheels recommended to me by a bunch of people, and I've been meaning to check it out since I liked a lot of other series that were kind of in the same time frame, and I've always enjoyed the Wild West stuff, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, I was experiencing, like, Wild West starvation, but it seems like it's had kind of a resurgence, and I really enjoyed the first season of that. I thought it turned out really cool, but I'm not really happy about having to wait for the entire next season to come out on Netflix.
Yeah,
it's gonna be kind of deadly.
Yeah, you have to wait till next year since they're always like a year behind.
Yeah,
like when the next one starts up.
Well, and especially like with a series like that, it seems like they have a hard time catching up every once in a while. It's like they put it off for other reasons, like they hit a wall with negotiating it or something like that. Next thing you know, you've been waiting for a series for like 2 years, and it's a couple of seasons ahead of where you're at.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the latest season like just ended, or there's like one episode left or something like that. Okay. So. You'll have to wait till.
Yeah, I really like the characters in that, and it's funny. Like I've never quite known what to make of Common as an actor in a lot of the things that he showed up in.
Mm-hmm.
And he has pretty cool characters, and they're heavy on the cool, but not really heavy on the substance a lot of the time.
Oh, okay,
and so it kind of threw me off having him be like a really good, really fleshed out character with a lot of interesting background and whatnot. And it's kind of sad, like at least where I am, seeing him kind of take a turn towards being a bad guy type of thing.
Mm.
And it's scary. It's like, no, Common. Don't take the high road.
No. Don't go to the dark side.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
A Star Wars reference there for everyone.
Hopefully.
I apologize. I am kind of out of it. It's been a draining week this week, so I'm doing my best to stay motivated.
Yeah. I honestly, I was having kind of a hard time too. Like, ended up getting fairly sick this afternoon. So luckily I was kind of snapped out of it right in time to head off to this. So
the power of the people, the right. people out there. And speaking of the people out there, did you know that you can listen to KSCU on your smartphone? Just download a mobile Shoutcast app such as TuneWiki, Shoutcast Radio, or Winamp and search for our internet stream. And we know it works because both Super Jason and Caleb's wife have used the services and they work. But Super Jason does have a tip regarding it. What was it like? Search for...
Definitely just search for the KSCU tag instead of trying to find the actual station number, because there's a dozen stations. Well, more than a dozen. They're scattered all over the world with the same number as us, but KSCU, completely unique. It'll pop up right away.
Bam, right there. We, we did also see Dread.
Yeah, actually, and I was really happy with that one. It kind of threw me off.
Yeah, surprised how solid it was. I mean, you know, if you like really wanted to nitpick, there were, you know, some things you could bring up, but overall, like,
oh yeah,
it's pretty good for, I imagine, you know, the budget they had to work with and just like not wanting it to be really corny, like,
yeah,
you know, the
yeah, it's actually, to me, it's kind of sad finding out that the box office numbers were apparently absolutely horrible yeah. for it. And when we ended up seeing it, it kind of bore that out. The theater was pretty empty. Granted, it was matinee, and
yeah.
we were trying to get the cheap price and whatnot, but still, it was not many people in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got to be kind of a hard sell. I mean, it doesn't really have anyone big in it, you know, like a star-wise to
yeah.
really push. And then it's just, I don't know if, I wouldn't say people are burned out on superhero stuff, but, you know, it's like the same year as Avengers and Batman.
Right.
And
yeah.
so it's like,
being at the tail end of all of that superhero.
Yeah. Here's Dread. You're like,
yeah.
Isn't that dumb Sylvester Stallone movie?
Yeah.
Like, no, really.
It's a comic.
It's better.
That was really cool. And
yeah.
So on, I've heard, but.
Yeah. So if you can, go support it, go check it out. At the very least, it's a solid action movie. I mean,
oh yeah. And the one thing that I was super nervous about was, since they, I forget what the technology is called, but they used the super high speed cameras so that they could do all of the incredible slow motion stuff. And I was really afraid that they were going to overuse that, but I thought they kind of hit the mark pretty well in giving you the feeling that, sort of making you see like why people would like the stuff.
Yeah.
And the drug that puts you into slow-mo world.
And then you end up kind of, one thing that disappointed me a little bit was that, and it wasn't really the movie's fault, but more like the trailer showed a lot of stuff that I kind of wish I hadn't seen already, because it
yeah.
does show a lot of the drug like parts.
Yeah.
Like most of them
true.
Are in the trailer, except for like a few other parts that were where they were kind of cleverly used. Like, I don't want to say, because
right.
I don't want to give anything away, but yeah, that was definitely something they could have, like, just because there's a lot of movies that love to use slow-mo.
Yeah.
300 and just to name one. And
oh man, I'd almost blanked that out of my mind. I know that's probably sacrilege to a lot of people.
But yeah, they did a good job with it. And I thought the couple sort of classic lines of like, I'm the law and I'm justice, that sort of thing, were handled well. Like,
yeah, they did a really good job of not making the movie feel cheesy. It had... you have to hit a weird balance with that sort of stuff. You have to keep it like superhero-y and do all of these amazing things, but you have to create this world that's like gritty and hardcore and everything, but you can't overdo either one of those. Otherwise, yeah. It ends up completely ruining the movie. And I thought what was best about the movie was that it struck a really good balance with having that gritty, like, tone and feel and look, but not making it so it felt like you got tired of it type of thing.
Yeah.
I thought it had a really good pace to it.
Yeah, and I like I think they did a good job casting Carl Urban, because, like, it's not... I liked the fact that it was more sort of just a normal, like, good cop, you know, but he's not, like, this super gigantic guy or super, right. like, can do all these ninja moves or, you know, type of thing. It was just, like, he was a normal, kind of smart, you know, you could tell he had experience, like, at his right. job, and so...
Well, it's funny, it made me wonder, I thought he did a really awesome job, number one, just as a disclaimer, because this next thing is going to make it sound like... Like, I didn't think that, but no, he did a really good job, but it seems almost to me like it could have been one of the reasons why they couldn't have gotten, why they didn't get, like, a bigger name was, I think the director was completely and totally determined to keep that mask on his face
yeah.
for the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense, because you,
that's,
you
yeah,
don't
want to
take a helmet off in the middle of a fight, and the entire movie is basically a fight.
Fight, yeah.
And, yeah, I can just imagine, like, maybe somebody trying to sell that exact same thing to Stallone back in the original movie, and him, like, being like, no, no, I gotta show this face.
Yeah. Well, plus, too, the, like, being able to see a person's eyes is, like, the easiest way to connect with a character instantly,
right.
And so it's difficult when you do movies and stuff where, like, the, you know, their face is covered, unless it's kind of a side character or it's sort of meant to be this, like, you know, like Darth Vader type
right.
of thing or something, or a Boba Fett kind of thing. But if you're meant to, like, connect with that character, like, kind of in a positive manner, it's like when you can't see their eyes or their face, it's hard to get connected sort of subconsciously. So, but I thought they did, like, a really cool job in this one. Like, they would focus a lot on his mouth and, like, just having I don't remember the actress's name who played Anderson,
yeah.
but it was nice, like, sort of having more of the emotion kind of on her side. But what I liked about the movie was they didn't make her character, like, because she, like, sort of was the emotional backbone, wasn't, like, over the top, like, oh no, like,
yeah.
crying or blah, like, oh,
yeah,
you know.
And in just the interactions between the two characters ends up telling you everything that you need to know about the two characters without point blanking
yeah.
it straight in your face. And I was really amazed at how well executed that movie was.
Yeah.
It still seems weird. Like, the only thing that I'm kind of, like, hesitant on is I'm still not happy with the bikes. I thought the bikes were a little bit weak, but still, it was a much cooler bike than the Stallone one, in my view. I know people are probably thinking, like, well, wait, the Stallone one could fly. Well,
yeah, those
and
could
whatnot.
Fly. And so I'm like,
No.
Yeah.
That beak. I'm sorry. Cheesy.
Yeah, they kept a lot of sort of the tech fantasy elements of it, like, pretty subtle, you know.
Right.
Like there's definitely stuff where you're like, okay, that's definitely unrealistic or really kind of far-fetched, but
right.
they kept it really toned down low enough so it wasn't like, what, you know.
Right, and they ease you into it also.
Yeah.
And so it, yeah, like, especially after seeing the Stallone one and having that bike, like, flying around and whatnot.
Yeah.
And even seeing, like, Batman, where he's giving voice commands to the Tumbler, like, as soon as he, I forget what mode he told the bike to get into, like crowd control mode or something like
that.
And I was like, oh, what's it going to do? This is going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
And the bike just simply starts telling people to disperse and stay yeah. a safe distance away.
That was great.
Like, wow, that's actually kind of perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, citizens, stand back. Please step away.
Yeah. Instead of doing crazy stuff like launching barricade grenades or something like that.
Shooting like tear gas or some kind of gases or something.
Right. Yeah, and they pull off the environment of having just like so many people crammed into still a massive place,
but this
mega city is pretty impressive in a lot of ways.
Yeah, overall, definitely, if you're even just a tiny bit interested, go check it out, because it's unfortunate that it didn't do well, because I'd really like to see a sequel for it, especially if they could have gotten, you know, a little more money to throw into stuff.
Yeah, in a weird sort of way, I feel like comparing it to Drive, it was like, it's like a more action-y version of that.
Yeah.
Like, subdued but still got some kick button there,
yeah,
type thing.
Yeah, the only thing it was missing was like 80s inspired music.
Yeah,
that's the only thing.
Yeah,
but I don't think it would have fit drive, but probably not so much Dread.
It depends on the 80s inspired music. I think they could pull it off.
It's possible.
Plus, it was weird seeing the bad guy, like, or the bad girl, having, like, she's an attractive woman, and they made her, like, nowhere near attractive on any scale. Like, they did everything they could to make her, well, I mean, not everything. They didn't put, like, a massive suit on her or something like that.
But,
made her look like she was in a Weird Al video or something like that.
But they both physically and mentally made her not really a great person.
Yeah,
like,
not somebody you want to tangle with or spend any time with whatsoever.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, I think...
Is it music time?
I think it's time for some music.
Okay.
I can't think of any other...
Anything 80s inspired?
I don't think so. I suppose I could throw up the Land Down Under song.
I think that would work quite well. We could put that into the middle of our other music.
Okay, because I would have to cue it up. I mean, you can talk to the audience while I cue it up, but yeah, I could throw it in.
Well, I'm just saying, like, in the middle of the other music when we start it up.
Sounds good.
That's easier. I don't want to talk.
Yeah. You've already talked enough. And,
right.
You know,
I'm done.
You don't want to talk anymore on this talk show.
Right.
But,
no. Yeah, this is exhausting.
Yeah. But before we do get to... Well, yeah. I'll just say it. Even though I do have a bumper for it.
Okay.
We do like it when you participate on the show. You can go to our Facebook page. Just look for a Robots Attack Show. Like it. Comment on whatever. Tell us what you did this week, if you saw anything, if you saw Dread, if you liked it or not, or if you saw another movie that came out this last previous week or whatever. And then
added bonus to the Facebook page is we usually throw our stories onto there, and so you can take a gander at whatever visual side of things there is.
Exactly, because after the music break, we'll get into the news. And actually, after I finish telling them how they can communicate with us, we'll give them some teases on some stories to look forward to when we come back. But like I said, the Facebook page, there's also Twitter. You can tweet us at robotsattackme. And then you can also email us. I have the Facebook and the Twitter page open in front now, so I can do shout outs with that and everything like that. But the email is also robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you couldn't write all of that down, you can actually go to our website, robotsattack.me, and up in the right corner, there's an interact tab. You can click on that, and it lists all three of the things that I just mentioned. So, say you're driving right now, we definitely don't want you to use your phone and text and do any of that stuff. Just keep listening and just comment later when you park and get to wherever you're going.
yes. Parking is important.
Yes. So, yeah, before we get to the music, what do we have coming up in the news?
I'll start out with a story about somebody trying to throw a little bit more cool into wheelchairs.
All right, sounds good. All right, we are Robots Attack, and we will be back.
Dun, 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 dun.
The news.
Okay, starting off, Wear Design's Tim Malley ended up doing a story that I thought was really cool. I had sort of a near miss when, it sounds weird to say near miss, but when I was out job hunting and managed to find a pretty decent job that's worked pretty well through all of this madness, one of the other jobs that I was interviewing for was working at a wheelchair crafting place that made custom wheelchairs for people with specific challenges and whatnot that, like, a normal wheelchair couldn't really help them with. But one thing that I noticed while I was touring the place and whatnot was it was all kind of the same stuff that you see every place else that was made to different heights and to help, like, with different functionalities and so on. Mm. But it still looks like your general wheelchair, which is not fun in any sort of way.
Oh.
Well, this story I thought was really cool because it's a guy that realized when... his own brother ended up coming down with something that ended up taking his life, unfortunately, after 6 years. During those 6 years, he was in a wheelchair, and it ended up really frustrating this guy that people would instantly treat his brother like, instead of just being physically challenged, that he was also mentally ill somehow. And it was just kind of the awkwardness that's created by the wheelchairs because they're intimidating machines. They don't really make anybody feel comfortable around them or anything like that. So because this guy also grew up in an auto body shop working with his dad, he came up with the idea of making custom wheelchairs for people so that they can do the things that they love and so that they can express themselves a little bit more around people. Now, granted, most of these chairs are more towards doing the things that are interesting to them, but some of them, I can really imagine, like, making people feel a lot more comfortable around somebody. Because just list off a few of the chairs that this guy, whose name is Lance Greathouse, by the way, he created a chair, and it's actually the title picture for the article, that's basically a fighter jet like seat. It's all made of completely riveted aluminum. It's painted copper, so it has kind of a weird, like, old-timey feel to it also.
Okay.
And it oozes cool. It looks like something that should have come off of, like, a Firefly or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Well,
and we'll have the, so people can see it, we'll have
I'm going to put this on Facebook within moments, but a couple of the other chairs, he used a lot of his abilities before this in shows like Robot Wars and Junkyard Wars, a lot of wars. So one of the things that a client wanted from him, I assume because of that lineage, was a wheelchair with a flamethrower on it. And this thing shoots like a good, like, 12 feet,
whoa,
it looks like, from the picture. It's pretty crazy. And so, obviously, that one's probably not meant as much for introducing yourself to people. And
well, that might be handy in a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, definitely. I'd want one of those things then. And the final one is really neat, too. It's a six-wheeled all-terrain version of one for someone that was really hoping for a wheelchair that would allow him to explore the woods and get in touch with nature type of thing. So it's a really cool story. I encourage you to check it out. And I'm going to be putting it up in moments.
Yeah, we'll have it on our Facebook page. If you are just joining us, we are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. And like Super Jason mentioned, if you go to our Facebook page, that story should be up there. You can check out the pictures and everything. And from interesting wheelchairs to probably something that this guy shouldn't have done.
okay.
With a child.
Okay.
This is from NBC News. Film of Arizona teen dressed in sheet with fake grenade launcher leads to arrest.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
And the thumbnail for the video? Yeah, it's pretty, like the wheelchair story. I'll have this up on the Facebook page as well, so you can check it out. But apparently, in Phoenix, police have arrested an Arizona man who allegedly filmed his 16-year-old nephew walking city streets dressed in a sheet and carrying a fake grenade launcher.
Okay.
Michael David Turley, 39, was arrested Monday over the making of the video, in which an unidentified narrator says he aims to discover how quickly police in Phoenix would respond following the fatal shooting of 12 people at the screening of The Dark Knight Rises,
okay,
Batman movie in Aurora, Colorado in July. The bizarre amateurish video depicts a person with a fairly realistic but fake grenade launcher walking around a Phoenix intersection in what appears to be a blue sheet with dark material covering his head and face. Made 8 days after the shooting at a screening of a Batman movie, the film was posted on YouTube entitled Dark Knight Shooting Response, Rocket Launcher Police Test. Wow. Given this event, yeah, I wanted to run a little test here in Phoenix, Arizona, the narrator says in the film. I want to find out how safe I really am, and I want to know the response time of the Phoenix Police Department. A filmmaker claims it took 15 minutes for police to respond. The first officer...
That's not too bad.
Yeah. The first officer finds the filmmaker and the teen standing in a driveway. The officer calmly tells the boy to put down the weapon and the man to put down the camera. He didn't draw his gun. Officer James Holmes, a police spokesman, said Turley told the officer they were just filming a movie and the officer took down their names and left. After interviewing people who called 911 and later seeing the video posted on YouTube, police arrested Turley. It surprised us that he actually put that video on YouTube, Holmes said. Holmes said the police response took just over 3 minutes from the first call and a helicopter and SWAT team was dispatched as backup. Yeah. Turley was charged with knowingly giving a false impression of a terrorist attack, endangerment, contributing to the delinquency
of a minor. I
didn't know
that was an actual law.
And misconduct involving a simulated explosive. He is being held in county jail on a $5,000 bond. If convicted, he faces up to 45 months in prison. Quote, we take something like this seriously, Phoenix Police Spokesman Officer James Holmes said. It wasn't fun and games to all the people who were affected by this. We don't behave like this in this country to prove a point. The 16-year-old has not been arrested, Holmes said. Video told us what Turley was intentionally trying to do, creating a terrorist hoax for his own personal ideals, he said. Turley doesn't have a listed phone number. He didn't immediately respond to messages sent Wednesday through the YouTube account. An attorney for Turley could not be immediately reached for comment. So, yeah, probably not a good idea. I mean, even if, yeah, like...
Especially not for the sake of just curiosity, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I remember reporting on a story of, like, a guy. I just feel like being in a car chase with the police. And he just, like, started driving crazy and wanted to get into them. It's like, yeah, you really... I mean, what if someone, especially... Well, look, maybe I shouldn't say that, but what if someone like who is a fan of carrying a firearm or really likes using their firearms, like shot this kid? You know, it's like I mean, the video shows him like walking the streets. Here, I'll show you the little thumbnail, but he like,
wow.
I mean, in your mind, you know, the guy's thinking like, oh, I'm doing this with good intention, like to see in this, but you got to think about the consequences of, like,
right,
people and people being crazy or, you know, acting irrationally by...
Maybe just ask a police officer what sort of response that would elicit instead of trying to get that.
Yeah.
But in 15 minutes is not too bad considering how slow police can respond to things in other situations, and it's pretty impressive that it ended up having, like, helicopters and whatnot. So that's good, I guess.
Good on the Arizona police.
Right. Well, okay, my story seems a lot less... I don't know, relevant in a weird sort of way now, but have you ever had the problem where you accidentally crushed a hat and it just will not go back into shape no matter what you do? Like, either that or, like, wash it or something like that?
That's a good question. I know it's... had some hats smashed, but I think they've popped back into place.
Oh, okay. Well,
but for the sake of the story,
yes, why, it happens all the time.
All the time.
I know it's happened to me a couple of times, and normally it's on little bit fancier hats than this is trying to be, but still, it's an interesting bit of technology for the future. This is the crushable baseball cap. It's designed to hold its shape absolutely no matter what. You crush it, fold it, whatever you want.
Sounds like a challenge.
I feel like trying this out. The price is a little bit prohibitive for just trying something like this out. It's $68.
Okay. Cement roller? Smoother, you know?
Something, yeah. There has to be something that can put a dent in this thing. But they claim that no matter how you deform or dent it, it's always going to pop back into shape. It's interesting. It actually gives the ingredients, so to speak, of the thing. It's 90% wool and 5% nylon and 5% polyamide, I think. Yeah, I'm not a big fabrics person, so I don't know it.
Someone out there shouting, it's the...
Right.
That's what helps it by triangulating the fabric molecules.
Definitely.
Yes.
Well, anyway, if you've had this particular problem and you would just absolutely need the baseball cap that will survive the crushing apocalypse of baseball caps, I'm going to post it for you so you can get your cap.
Yeah. That's what we do here at Robots Attack. We try to help the people.
Right.
Now, from hats getting squished to officers forbidden from carrying guns, make a New Mexico town's police force going to the dog.
Okay.
This is another story from NBC News. Vaughn, New Mexico, a drug-sniffing dog, now is the only certified member of the police force in the small eastern New Mexico town of Vaughn.
That's confusing.
Police Chief Ernest Chris.
A lot of police stories today.
thought this one was interesting. Police Chief Ernest Chris decided to step down Wednesday after news reported that he wasn't allowed to carry a gun because of his criminal background.
Okay.
He decided the attention was distracting, said Dave Romero, an attorney for the town. State officials said Chris couldn't carry a gun since acknowledging that he owned tens of thousands of dollars in delinquent child support payments in Texas.
Oh, okay.
Chris also faces new felony charges after being accused of selling a town-owned rifle and pocketing the cash. Romero said Chris is working to clear up the latest
class
case.
Class act right here, I can tell.
He said Chris has not ruled out seeking the police chief's position again if his case is resolved and the position is open. According to NBC affiliate KOB.com, in New Mexico, Chris's annual salary is less than $30,000. Because he can't own a gun or any ammunition, he sold an assault rifle he owned to Guadalupe Sheriff's Deputy Juan Sanchez in January for $250.
Well, at least it was to another member of law enforcement. That's true. Community, that's true. So
there you go. There you go. I'm sure their lawyer will bring that up.
Got a like, bright side. This.
Well, hey, you did sell it to another fellow officer. Right. Second police officer in Vaughn, Brian Brunel, was hired in the spring, but he had his own legal problems. In January of 2011, Brunel pleaded guilty to assault and battery against a household member, which prohibits him from owning a firearm by federal law. Now, according to records, the only qualified member of the Vaughn Police Department is Nikita.
Nikita. As in LaFemme?
Well.
Or LaRouf.
It's the drug-sniffing dog.
Okay.
Non-certified officers can't make arrests and can't carry firearms. But Romero said not having an officer qualified to carry a gun didn't put Vaughn at risk. So if you are a citizen of Vaughn, like, don't be completely afraid.
Huh?
England doesn't allow police officers to carry guns, he said. Sometimes the strongest weapon in law enforcement is communication.
That's true to a point, because they give them guns the moment that a situation is needed.
Needed for...
Right.
Vaughn, town of about 450, located 104 miles east of Albuquerque, is a quiet place that is an overnight stop for railroad workers. While residents maintain there is no crime problem, the town is set deep in what U.S. officials say is an area populated with drug traffickers. The desolate roads in Guadalupe County make it hard for authorities to catch smugglers moving drugs from Mexico.
That's why he had the assault rifle.
Yep. Guadalupe County Sheriff Michael Lucero said since news about the police chief's record became public, his department has helped patrol Vaughn, but he said those efforts have put a slight strain on his already short-staffed department.
Yeah.
Quote, I visit the town at least once a month. The important thing is to keep a presence so residents know we're there to help if we're needed. Romero said town officials are considering whether to hire another police chief or keep the department staffed with just one officer. He said it's unclear whether the town will keep the police dog, which had been in Chris's care. When approached by a reporter from the Associated Press at his Vaughn home, Chris said he had no comment and he declined to grant access to the canine for photographs or video. Well, that's too bad. The dog's kennel could
at
be...
At least give a picture of it.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
The dog is now the most qualified officer in the town. The
Are they going to give the dog a firearm? That's what I want to know.
Oh, jeez.
Because the dog can at least make rests, so that's good.
That's true.
But
have some, like, shoulder-mounted, like, armament attachment thing, some sci-fi features thing.
Elcor-mounted.
Yeah.
For that matter.
Hey, take a shot. Unless you're driving.
Yeah.
Then don't. The dogs.
Or underage.
Yes, that's a good point as well.
Or underage and driving.
There you go, all those things.
Oh, right.
If you can't do it legally,
or an
don't
elk
do
car.
It. Yeah. The dog's kennel could be seen in Chris's backyard. A police truck marked canine was parked in his driveway. At Penny's Diner, residents said they were embarrassed by the attention the episode has put on the small town. I can understand that. There's just a whole lot of nothing going on here, quotes cook Joyce Tibber. We have very little crime. It's quiet, so this really doesn't matter. Chris told KOB.com in June that he didn't feel he needed a gun to do his job. We have tasers, batons, mace, stuff like that. Chris said, this isn't a TV show. This is life.
Obviously, he hasn't seen the preview for the new Schwarzenegger movie.
That's true.
He needs that assault rifle back.
Yep.
Well, the dog needs the assault rifle.
The dog
back.
Needs an assault rifle. Or the dog could get that, the old, like, World War.
Oh, the Gatling gun.
Yeah.
There you go.
We don't run in every day with a gun drawn. Life isn't in a pistol grip. It's how you talk to people. I wasn't the type of person to go, I'm a cop. Now give me my badge and my chip on my shoulder. That's not me. Quoted from Chris. So,
well, he seems like a nice chap.
Yeah. If you find yourself in Vaughn, watch out for the police dog, Nikita.
Okay.
I know it's pretty hard to follow that.
Yeah. You're finding stories that are very hard to follow, at least with my piddly stuff. But I'm again going to awkwardly say, have you ever wanted to build a supercomputer?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. An honest answer. Well, somebody figured out...
Or at least
out...
have someone do it for me.
All right. I'm probably about the same boat, but this makes me think that maybe I could. Somebody figured out how to make a supercomputer out of Legos and Raspberry Pis.
Oh, Okay.
And by Raspberry Pis, I mean something that our friend, our co-host Caleb has mentioned on the show in the past. It's a really cheap, like $35 computer.
Oh, yes.
Because the Pi is spelled as in P-I.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so apparently even...
You got me. You got me.
I know.
Hero was thinking about pies and wanted to slice up some pie.
Hungry.
And, yeah.
Raspberry Pi sounds really good right now.
Maybe the audience out there is like, yeah, so I got a, maybe they had a Raspberry Pi and they're like,
if somebody from the audience can bring us a piece of Raspberry Pi.
But we have to wait till after the show because we can't eat in the studio.
That's true.
So just leave it outside the front door.
Then I'd suspect it even more, unfortunately. Anyway, it would still be cool. I mean, but yeah, guy figured out a guy named Simon Cox and a team of engineers, actually, at Britain's University of Southampton. They figured out how to build a supercomputer for about $4,000 in U.S. dollars, which is 2,500 in English pounds.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't include all of the network gear in order to actually plug all of the computers together, but the actual thinking part of it was only that much. And luckily they had some help from the guy's son, James, a six-year-old who was very enthusiastic about putting together the tower made of Legos that houses all of the Raspberry Pis.
But that seems like fun, you know, some fun for a kid playing with the Legos. And.
But yeah, it was more for doing all of the massive number crunching for any of the huge math or astrology problems or any sort of genetic deciphering stuff that they have going on at any of the colleges these days. You know, like they do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to also post stuff on this so you can see the behemoth tower of Legos and network cables and little tiny Raspberry Pis.
But again, not the kinds that you eat.
Right. Pies with a P-I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess technically you could eat those, but you probably don't want to because they might cause internal damage.
Bleeding.
Yeah. To your body.
At the very least. Plus, they're Linux. It's not like Apple, so it's not like tasty.
There you go. That's true.
But bum.
Whoa, you and you. It's it's a robot's attack with the geeky humor and the yeah. Don't change the station. Someone's like, that's it. I just gotta change it now. But if you change it, you're not gonna know about the pumpkin festival. Because you can celebrate the Great Gourd at the world-famous Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival October 13th and 14th. Enjoy 2 days of magical autumn splendor in the world pumpkin capital. There's the Great Pumpkin Parade with all-time 49er great Steve Young as Grand Marshal.
All-time great.
All-time great. Enjoy festive
also
food.
Also well-known from his Toyota commercials.
That's true. Enjoy festive food and drink. Harvest-inspired crafts, and three stages of smashing entertainment. That's right, three.
Smashing? Does that mean Gallagher is going to be there?
It's probably not, but maybe.
Because that would be fun. Maybe. Pumpkin festival with Gallagher.
Well,
oh, that's a good time.
Someone could dress up as Gallagher and show up.
Should I?
I suppose you could.
I'll have to see if I can find one of those wooden sledges.
Yeah, and the hat with the hair wig thing.
Yeah,
a delight in expert pumpkin carving, a bone-chilling. I just lost my train of thought.
I can't imagine why, with all of my lovely Gallagher references that I've been peppering
you
with.
That's exactly what it was. A bone-chilling haunted house, tasty pumpkin pie, photos with the grand champion Mega Gourd. Fun-filled contests and...
No, wait.
Oh,
I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay.
Mega Gourd. The grand champion, brother. I'm going to tell you about Mega Gourd, brother.
You know, because
Mega Gordon.
Oh yeah, fun-filled conscious and Monster Pumpkins galore. Yeah, it kind of disappeared after that fun-filled part. The Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival, October 13th and 14th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Historic Main Street. Admission is free. That's right, free. It doesn't cost you anything to see all that stuff that I just listed. For more information, call 650-726-9652 or visit MiramarEvents.com. I cut out the www because I figured
people know that.
People kind of know that by now. You know, so
I think, yeah, it's been a decade or so.
Yeah, I think.
I think people are in the know.
Yeah, you know, even most of the, and then like all the youngins now, like it's kind of what you had to type that in before,
right?
You know?
I never did, and so I couldn't enjoy like a huge chunk of the internet for the longest time.
Why isn't this working? All someone right. finally realized, you know what? We should figure out how we don't have to type those three right. W's. I mean,
it doesn't seem that difficult to write up some Kodi code.
I mean, there isn't anything else besides the World Wide Web, so, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, so... So yeah, you know, speaking of feeling older,
yes,
I guess speaking of another, what was I gonna say? Right, okay, man,
Gallagher.
I tell you, the location of the studio is both a blessing and a curse.
Yeah,
but anyway, so yes, there is another radio station.
No,
on the air. Yes, I know it's odd to think, but they normally play like classic rock stuff.
Oh,
so when you turn on, and lo and behold, I start hearing things from now like the 90s, and it's like,
yeah,
when you're used to that station playing songs like Led Zeppelin songs, Pink Floyd songs, songs from the 60s and 70s and things like that, and that, you know, and then maybe their latest things being the 80s.
Yeah, then, I started getting scared around the 80s stuff, but yeah, move on.
But yeah, they started playing some things from the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, like I would start to hear Nirvana and Green Day, and it's like,
yeah, it's weird to think of Green Day as classic rock. They're still around and they're not old. So
yeah, but yeah, it definitely didn't help, like this is, no.
I mean, heck, they just released stuff, like, just now.
Yeah. But anyway, enough of that. Did you have something, or do you want me to do?
I have one last story.
Go for it.
I kind of debated whether to put this one on, because it could be used for devious means.
Uh-oh.
But in technically... See, it's working off a technicality here.
Okay.
I don't know what to make of. And maybe I'll get your opinion on this.
Okay.
This is a pin that is made to clean things.
A pin.
A pin.
Okay.
Now, it's made in a style that's specifically for being able to, like, tag things and so on. And so what it's working off of is the idea that, okay, you can have somebody who normally does the graffiti tagging thing.
Okay.
And you get this pin, you fill it with soapy water,
mm-hmm.
and you can clean things with your tag. And so technically, you can't be arrested for cleaning something. I'm not sure if that actually would wash with especially the San Jose Police Department, because they're really cracking down. But it was an interesting idea at the very least.
You could see maybe where they were going with it, but not sure if...
But hey, if you just actually need to clean something and you need an implement shaped like a pin in order to do that, you can buy this for $12.
$12, okay.
So it's easily the most affordable thing that I think I've talked about in the last year.
That's true. A lot of the things mentioned are...
at least $50 or
$50 or a little pie in the sky or, you know.
Right. The last, the supercomputer was only about $5,000.
That's so. True. That's true. You know, and maybe you could even sort of like make an even more toned down version of it or something, or, you know, if you experimented, I don't know. Maybe you could end up making one for half that. I'm sure Caleb, like, if he were here, he'd be like, well, you could substitute this for that and maybe use it, you know, because he...
That's true.
His brain can work like that sometimes. And
oh, yeah.
You know.
His brain is really awesome for that.
Yeah, that's true.
For working like that.
So, you know, I mean, you know, he's not really here to defend himself, but... we're actually talking in the positive, right. So it works out.
He'd better get online and start defending himself from all of these positive things we're saying about.
Yeah, from Australia.
Gee howdy, he's a nice guy. I don't like the sound of that. I'm going to brave the trans-Pacific charges and calling and call in.
I think it'd be wise. I'm trying to decide between the stories I have that... to
the first one.
The first...
Yeah.
Oh, man. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh.
I've never been so sure.
Okay.
About anything in my entire life.
This will be your fault.
Give me a second, and I might not be so sure. But for now...
alrighty. This from the mercurynews.com. Ready, set, Zimbabweans urge to flush toilets simultaneously.
Okay, I'm loving this already. Okay, where are we going with this? Oh, is that just it?
Let's just say a city in Zimbabwe, because if I try to pronounce some of these names, I will butcher them, and I don't want to.
Okay.
So, you know. City officials Monday urged all residents to join the big flush to help Zimbabwe's second city clear toilet waste that accumulated in sewers during days of water outages.
Okay. It's making sense now.
The city spokesperson, Sisa Pofu, asked all residents to flush their toilets simultaneously at 7:30 p.m. Twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays. She said a new timetable was issued Monday. She said residents can also flush at other times. Many householders had mistakenly thought they could only flush on Monday and Thursday evenings.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be.
No longer true.
Yeah, you don't have to. You can flush other times.
Right,
just
for all of our listeners in Zimbabwe.
Me, he's like, whoa, I can't flush anymore? No. You just have to make sure that everyone flushes
right.
Monday and Thursday evenings at the exact same time.
Tell your friends.
Yes, spread the word. What kind of country would that be if toilets were allowed to lie stagnant for days, you know, to go along with the confusion of not being able to flush? Pofu said synchronized flushing will help move waste in the... quote, old and overburdened sanitation system worsened by a growing urban population, water shortages, and a troubled economy. Our sewer system has become vulnerable and we don't have enough water, Pofu said. Civic activist groups on Monday, however, criticized the proposed solution by city authorities as ridiculous.
What?
That's a quote, ridiculous.
It sounds scientifically viable and triangulative to me.
I think if they can get
triangular,
yeah, if they can get triangulation involved on it, then it's set.
Right.
Okay.
They need teams of three to flush.
I apologize in advance to this person for butchering their name. Magandanga Malangu, a leader of WOZA, an activist organization that champions women's issues and protests against the nation's poor service, told the Associated Press that the council's proposed big flush is an insult to people's dignity. Malangu said city authorities needed to look at fixing the aging water and sewer pipes, which have not been replaced in years. Zimbabwe had world record inflation before the formation in 2009 of a coalition government between longtime President Robert Mugabe and the former opposition leader, Prime Minister Morgan
Fairchild. No.
Tsvangirai. Again, I apologize. It just goes to show, quote, that someone in the council has lost touch with the real issues on the ground and is failing to deal with the real problems. She said, the city residents have enough challenges in their day-to-day lives, including unemployment and trying to put food on the table for their families without being further asked to remember to flush their toilets at a certain time.
I think it's worth a try, at least. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, it is. I can see, though, it's like, yeah, we probably should focus on fixing this stuff instead of like, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll all just flush at the same time. Like,
I don't know if you're going to save some money.
Quote, it's not like people have nothing better to do, said Malangu. City.
Well, it doesn't sound like it's like an order to drop everything you're doing.
I don't know.
This is deadly important.
This is
if you're defusing a bomb, let it explode. You need to go home and flush your toilet.
The city officials are urging people to do this, so... You know, it's pretty important.
Are they handing out tickets?
Because
that would be a good way to get money to fix it. They could ticket people who don't flush at the right time.
True.
Of course, that would require city officials to be in people's bathrooms, but...
Yep.
Hey, sacrifices need to be made.
True. City residents interviewed by the Associated Press on Monday still claim they have not been informed of the order. One resident said he only got to know about it when he read a news article on the internet, which many residents can't access. Duby, I'll just say the person's last name, spokesman for the city's Progressive Residents Association said his group welcomed any plan to reduce the number of sewer bursts in the provincial capital of more than 1 million people.
Wait, sewer bursts?
Yeah, that was part of the...
Okay. Well, yeah.
That was part of the problems earlier on. There was a...
That sounds important.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not want that happening.
I don't know why I'm just envisioning, like, just a fountain of sewer material. Geez.
Yeah, that's bad.
Like Vegas style.
Oh, jeez. you can send your hate mail to superjason at...
that's why they
I'm insensitive.com.
How is that... It could be a thing. That's why they're telling them to all flush at the same time.
Yep. let's see. The capital has more than 1 million people, but he said city authorities need to communicate directly with the people because most residents were poor and can't afford to buy newspapers. Water shortages and frequent sewer pipe bursts in Zimbabwe's main cities have led to the outbreak of diseases such as typhoid and cholera.
Yeah, that's nothing to joke about.
Yeah. More than 4,000 people died of cholera in the Southern African nation in 2008 at the height of political turmoil and economic meltdown. Quote, it will be good for people to follow council orders, said Duby. People must be tired of burst sewers.
Yeah, it's weird to think of cholera being like a thing in this day and age. Like, I remember reading a book about somebody figuring out the cure for it. Like, I want to say it was way back in the 40s or something like that. So, yeah, it definitely no good if they're having cholera outbreaks in this day and age.
Yeah, not good. But speaking of something that is good, to try to get on a more positive note, we have ticket giveaways at the station. Do you want free tickets to a concert? KSCU has got you covered. Just listen in and you could win. To see which shows we're giving away tickets for, go to kscu.org and click on promotions.
We have yet to give away any tickets, unfortunately. We need to get on the ticket giveaway plan.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we're not really... We usually try to keep...
Tickets for, like, geeky events is what we need.
Yeah, I guess if there's anything like that coming up, we could try to speak to the ticket guy and see. But yeah, mostly it's like concerts, and since, you know, it's better to leave them for the shows that play like the music that fits that than
that's true.
You know, but I you know, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, it's just something we'll have to discuss when Caleb gets back, and because we'll make him do all that stuff. So,
oh, okay.
You know,
that's wise. He has more pull.
Yeah, we'll just dump all the extra stuff on him. Just here, you do it, and
because he likes it.
Exactly, he loves it. Yeah, I guess that'll wrap up the news. that was your last story, right? The one before.
Yeah.
My sad tale of.
Well, there is one other story that I could do that it falls into the robot story a little bit. I thought it was kind of interesting. There's a, and unfortunately this is just from memory because I didn't remember to, or I didn't manage to save the file like I thought I had, but the Air Force was...
It's all good.
The Air Force was testing out a system of blimps, of all things, that they were trying to put together a fleet of 16 blimps for a long time, and due to budget cuts and whatnot, that number has dwindled down to 2. But fortunately, while they were testing this thing, it actually managed to help save lives, it sounds like. They were testing out one of these missile defense sensor blimps someplace in the Middle East, and it actually was able to find ahead of time a missile coming towards something, and it was easily taken care of by the ships that were being targeted, thanks to the early response. So, always good.
Yeah. Cool. Well, on that positive note,
right,
let's get into some music, and then we'll come back with more geek-centric stuff for you for your brain to analyze and digest.
Mull over.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or mulgest. Right.
Oh, there you go. See? There, yeah. That works perfectly. You should tweet that. you should just, yeah. Oh, have you mulgested today? Like... You know, see the reaction on people, like see what they say, you know, when you...
I'm going to try that at work tomorrow. I'm going to ask people.
I like that. See if they look at you funny and like, you haven't been listening.
Oh, right. That's true. That was a test. You failed.
Yeah. You failed. You owe me something.
A mulgest.
Yeah. Go back and listen to this and then you'll know. Alrighty, we are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Going in.
Whoever goes into the core is not coming back.
Core.
To the core.
Movies.
Sequels suck.
By definition alone, they're inferior films.
Full generalization, many sequels have surpassed their original.
Comics.
As you know, I'm quite keen on comic books. Especially the ones about superheroes.
Video games.
What is that?
The Power Glove.
I love the Power Glove. It's so big.
Music.
Top 5 musical crimes perpetrated by Stevie Wonder in the 80s and 90s. Go.
Tech stuff.
This is the isopalladial interface which controls the main ferromantle drive unit. Don't touch that. Blow up the entire ferromantle drive.
What is a ferromantle drive?
Nerd! Get those nerds!
Okay, we're going to start out with the DVD releases. If anybody hasn't heard already, The Avengers is out. If you're in the geek territory, like all of us are, you definitely need to go out and try and grab that. DVD and Blu-ray, of course, is available right now. A little movie called Soldiers of Fortune, which best I can tell is kind of a knockoff version of Expendables, except without any of the big action movie stars. Go check that out if you're a fan of not so highly rated action movies. On the TV front, American Horror Story is showing up its first season on DVD and Blu-ray. Desperate Housewives, the 8th and final season, is coming out. The 5th season of Gossip Girl, if you're a fan of that, is also coming out. And the 10th volume of Family Guy is making its debut on DVD right now. And let's see, finally, I feel like I need to play this up a little bit because it's an end of an era in a weird sort of way. CSI Miami, the 10th and final season, is coming out. Unfortunately, just on DVD. So if you really want that Blu-ray treatment, you're going to have to wait a little while, unfortunately. But if you really miss all of the taking off and putting back on of sunglasses, you can always get the 10th and final season.
I know I do. It just holds a special place in my heart. Horatio, whatever his name is or something.
Oh, yeah.
Is that all the DVDs? Or
That's pretty much all I got.
Okay.
Accompanying the CSI Miami, there's also CSI New York.
No, 8th season. Hoity-toity New York.
And if people still care about their original CSI, which is actually probably the best out of them, the 12th season is also available. All three of them, unfortunately, just on DVD. You'll have to wait for those Blu-rays.
Darn, I wanted it on VHS. Blu-ray. Right.
I was hoping for Gossip Girl 8th or the 5th season on VHS, but what can you do?
Yeah, you know. What can you do? Well, you can go see a movie in the theater this week. That's right.
No.
You can go see Hotel Transylvania in both 3D and non-3D.
Okay.
Stars Adam Sandler, Andy Samberg, Selena Gomez, Kevin James, Dracula, that's right, Dracula, invites some of the world's most famous monsters to celebrate his daughter's 118th birthday. That's right, 118th birthday, because they're vampires, and so, you know, they don't do all that stuff.
Yeah.
But his world could come crashing down when one ordinary guy stumbles on the hotel and takes a shine to her. We also have Looper, starring Bruce Willis, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Emily Blunt, and Paul Dano. A killer who works for the mob of the future recognizes one of his targets as his future self. Bum, bum, bum. Time travel madness.
Sounds like it could be some difficulty.
Ensues, yep. There's also The Perks of Being a Wallflower with Emma Watson. You might remember her as Hermione from the Harry Potter movies.
Right.
There's another movie called Pitch Perfect. Another movie called The Other Dream Team. It's the story of the Lithuania's 1992 Olympic basketball team, who athletes won the bronze medal. And some movie called The Hole. Two brothers find a hole in the basement that leads to their darkest fears and nightmares.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and some...
So it's like that swamp place where Luke explores the Force.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly like that.
Bringing it right back to the geek.
Yep. And I think there's probably even a Yoda puppet in there too, in the background, maybe.
That would be pretty scary if they do that right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then some movie with Mila Jovovich and Bill Pullman called Bringing Up Bobby. Those are your movies for the this week.
Okay, and in an odd twist of fate, I'm going to make a stab at talking about the comic books. This is, I'll warn you right off the bat, this is not normally my best moment, and this is definitely our
Caleb's co-host, department.
Caleb's department. Speciality. He does an awesome job researching all of this stuff, but I managed to find a pretty good article about it, and it got me kind of excited about it. In DC Comics, apparently the big winner for this week, or month, I suppose, is iVampire, getting all the top scores on ratings, written by Josh Frackoff. And then...
Whoa. Do I have to dump you? What did you just say?
Oh. It's a last name. It's completely legit.
No, you Frackoff.
I was trying to think of a comeback for that, but that's too spot on.
That was that's the Battlestar one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
What the frack?
Yeah, because Frel was... what's the show?
Man.
I'm spacing on it. With Crichton and
Farscape.
Farscape, there you go.
Yeah. I like that one better than Frack for some reason. Yeah. Frack sounds more dirty.
Yeah.
For whatever, well, for obvious reasons, yeah. I suppose. Anyway, back to the comics. Marvel put out a bunch of winners this week. Let's see, the end of the Punisher short series, number 16 comes out of The Punisher, written by Greg Rucka. It's the end of the series, unfortunately, but it sounds like it sets up for a pretty interesting turn of events for the next series that's coming up for The Punisher. I believe the next series is War Game, if I remember right. The Winter Soldier series continues with... apparently amazing writing by Ed Brubaker. It's continuing a very strong run. And X-Men number 36, written by Brian Wood, also gets incredibly high scores from a lot of the critics out there. And to wrap it up, Image, apparently new comic Happy number 1. It's written by an author that's known for doing really weird and kind of out their stuff, but this seems like it's going to be one of his winners. It's been dubbed bizarre and brilliant.
Cool. And I will wrap it up with video games. We have a very big release for the PC, especially if you are a fan of the Panda. The World of Warcraft Mists of Pandaria released this week.
If you haven't seen the commercial / CG thing for this, watch it.
It's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sort of want like another Kung Fu Panda where they do like a cutting edge, like gritty version of Kung Fu Panda now. Just off of that.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
It's pretty cool.
I agree. We also had Dead or Alive 5 for the 360 PS3. We also had a game called Tokyo Jungle for the PS3. If you are a soccer fan or a football fan for the rest of the world.
Football.
Who may be listening. FIFA Soccer 13 for the 360 PS3.
Continuing a strong run.
Apparently.
For the FIFAs.
For the FIFAs. We also have, hell yeah, Wrath of the Dead Rabbit. For the 360 Arcade and the PSN.
I downloaded the demo for that. I was really looking forward to trying it out, but then I had ran into a problem trying to research stories for the show.
Makes sense. There's the One Piece Pirate Warriors for the PSN. Another soccer football game, Pro Evolution Soccer 2013, also released for 360 PS3.
Goal!
And the PC. And
I'd be interested to know how many people play soccer games on the PC. That would be a nice statistic to have.
I wonder if it's like a pirated game, you know, like I wonder how pirated the sports games are, you know?
Yeah.
Compared to other PC games, since you know. Yeah, and a few other lists. If you want to see everything, you can go. I check the GameSpot.com. There's a list of the new releases, but those are most of the big ones. So, did you have anything in particular you wanted to shout out for the core? Or?
Not really, but I sort of wanted to do a public service announcement / I guess kind of ad type thing. Mostly because we have a friend that got involved with the Renaissance Pleasure Fair.
Sounds good.
Renaissance Fair this year.
Sounds good. If you are just tuning into us, we are Robots Attack, one and only geek-centric talk show on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. Take it away.
Well, if you know where Casta Fruta in Pacheco Pass is, definitely try and check this out. They do a really good job of putting together something that throws you into all of the Renaissance fun. They make sure and really keep their people to a high standard of quality for craftsmanship on their clothing and everything like that. And it's fun, if nothing else, for going and trying out some of the old style foods as well. If you're the drinking type, which I am a bit, definitely try out the mead. It's kind of fun having something that's alcoholic that's made from honey, of all things.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's tasty.
Yeah. Oh, and a clarification for the dude that just called. 6 o'clock are the meetings on Sunday. So I think I told you 5. Probably they're at 6, just in case you're still listening.
Oh, and just back on the Pleasure Fair or the Renaissance Fair. They're not calling it the Pleasure Fair anymore. I feel weird about that. But anyway, it has been running since September 15th and it's running through to October 14th. So go check it out. Highway 152, technically Hollister.
Hmm. Cool. Let's see. I had... Man, what happened to my... I had a thing, did you have something ready? Apparently the one I had sort of queued up isn't showing up anymore, so I'm going to try to quickly find it while I... if you don't, tell us more about your character in Borderlands 2 while I find this.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see where to go.
Or the Tekken 2. You've been playing some of that as well. The Tekken Tag.
That is true. I'm a really big fan of that game. The main thing that they've really gone for broke on for the new Tekken game, if you haven't checked it out and you're a fan of the Tekken as well, is they've really done a lot of interesting things with the customization. If you're familiar with the Soul Calibur games and the last few that they've put out where they tried to do a whole bunch of stuff with customization, being able to alter colors of clothing completely by picking from an entire panel of colors to match whatever color schemes you want. The new Tekken takes it a step further in a really cool way. They add the ability to save colors into a little slot so that you can change out entire sets of clothing instead of having to hunt down a little color scheme number. So it makes it really fun and easy to deck out all of your characters in your favorite colors. Unfortunately, on the negative side for it, as far as the customizations, right now it seems like most of the customizations are pretty generic. They've made basically a solid set of costumes for men and a solid set of costumes for women, and they're all pretty neat, and being able to tweak them with all of the color changes is really cool. But in order to actually unlock stuff for the really wicked customizations, you have to do a lot of extra playing with the characters. So buckle down, do your hard work with your favorite characters, because you'll get some interesting stuff. Unfortunately, you'll have no clue what that stuff is until you unlock it. But it's, and some of the things that I've seen have been pretty cool. And the other thing that I've been hoping that they do for a game like this forever, and I don't know why they didn't ever since they started doing customizations, is they've made it part of the updating process of customizations being routed into the game.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of the other negative about it, is that you're always getting more of the stuff, but you won't know what it is until you actually unlock it. So,
gotcha.
If you're really into trying to deck out your character a certain way, hunt down all of the customization stuff online and try and find out what you're hunting for. Because people are documenting the stuff they're unlocking, but so far it doesn't seem like there's any master lists or anything like that.
Oh, okay. I wonder if... I know IGN does a pretty good job with wikis and stuff. Maybe there's a...
Yeah, it seems like most of the stuff that I've seen so far on it has been player videos of people just showing off clips of the things that they've decked their characters out with. My personal favorite that I have going so far is I have Zafina decked out as kind of a weird hybrid of Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas and Marty McFly.
Oh, nice.
So, I love beating people to a pulp as Fergie McFly.
Okay, I found the story I wanted to talk about, and it was, I'd feel remiss if we didn't mention this because we are fans of the Call of Duty.
That's true.
Released, I believe, yesterday, was finally a bunch of info for Black Ops 2 zombie mode.
Right.
So I have
some good video footage too.
Yeah. I have this story to wrap us up before we go from Shaq News. It's Black Ops 2 zombie mode is an undead road trip across a massive map. What we expected, the return of zombies in Treyarch's Call of Duty Black Ops 2. What we didn't expect, for it to be a massive open world of sorts. The developer has finally unveiled its ambitious plans for Black Ops 2 Zombies, and it's a game unto itself. The centerpiece of Treyarch's new zombie offering is a mode called Transit, with a Z.
Okay.
Like before, this is a co-op story mode meant for 1 to 4 players. However, it now takes place in an expansive world, one that encourages exploration. Quote, imagine a world where there isn't just one area, but multiple areas, and there's land in between that, studio head Mark Lamia described to us.
Okay.
To get around the world, you'll probably need a ride. That's where the bus comes in. If you've seen any of the videos,
right,
you'll see
that
there's
that
a bus. You'll be able to use said bus to go around on a post-apocalyptic road trip. Yay!
Yeah.
Come on, kids, get in the bus!
If you were actually in that situation, doesn't sound so great.
Yeah. And because there are so many destinations to choose from, your approach to the game's adventure will drastically change from previous games.
That's
quote,
kinda cool.
It is an open area you can approach in many different ways. We've explored the number of strategies you can use. We've exploded the number of strategies you can use.
Kaboom.
Of course, while the bus can give you shelter on your trip, it is also a confined space, something that will undoubtedly cause issues for players on their journey. Some players may choose to go on their trek through the fog on foot. While there is the potential to get sweet loot by hoofing it, there's also the potential of running into terrible danger, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does Transit introduce a large world map, it adds a few new gameplay mechanics. There are 4 new playable characters, new zombie types to face, and new weapons that include some of the future tech of Black Ops 2's campaign.
Oh, okay.
There's also some wonder weapons that are magical in nature. And if that's not enough for you, there's even a crafting system that allows you to create new items from objects you collect in the environment.
Huh, okay.
These can be put together to form weapons or grant you access to previously unreachable areas of the world.
Yeah, the end of the video that they released kind of hints at something crazy that you can make
by
crafting.
Transit is a thoroughly massive undertaking, and it's just one of the 3 zombie-themed modes included in Black Ops 2. Survival is for the fan that prefers the classic single-map gameplay offered by Treyarch's previous games. Players take on the undead on custom-made areas carved out from the larger Transit mode. Grief is the final mode, and it turns the co-op zombie experience into a competitive one. Described as 4v4, it puts a team of 4 humans against another team of 4 against an onslaught of zombies. The CIA and CDC are fighting each other, but neither party is allowed to shoot at each other. Instead, you will use the zombies to grief the other team.
Okay.
All three zombie modes can be customized as well. For example, the Impatient can set the starting round to bypass the slow buildup in difficulty. You can also enable specific challenges like headshots only. You can also disable the game's magic items if you want a more realistic zombie survival mode. Mm. But who wants that? You can also set the difficulty in single player. Yeah. If you want just a casual zombie romp. The zombie modes in Black Ops 2 now use the game's multiplayer engine, which is cool, giving it many features that were once reserved for Call of Duty's other online modes. For example, there will be a tremendous amount of stat tracking and leaderboards based on a variety of different conditions. Treyarch also promises there will be improved matchmaking, allowing similarly skilled players to go against the zombies. What once started as a bonus Easter egg in World at War has now blossomed into an undertaking that is as large as many standalone games. The zombies mode of Black Ops 2 is going far beyond its predecessors, and it looks as though fans will want to eat it all up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if you watch the video, it does look cool. So yeah. It is surprising how, yeah, it's gone from just that one sort of little map thing in World at War and now...
Yeah, it's weird to think about that at all. And now I see where you were going with your t-shirt choice for the evening.
Purely by coincidence.
Okay.
But no, yeah, I planned it.
Oh, yeah, Call of Duty World of War t-shirt.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Works exactly. Perfectly.
They get that, yeah, because I knew subconsciously I would be speaking about that later.
Oh, yeah.
It just, exactly. Mm. That's how we do it here. That's how we plan everything out.
Subconsciously.
Yeah. And when it doesn't work, we blame Caleb.
Subconsciously,
while he's in Australia in the land down under eating Vegemite sandwiches.
We can only hope.
Oh, man.
We instructed him and his lovely wife to try out the Vegemite.
The Vegemite.
But we felt some resistance, so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just hope...
I'm just going to be really disappointed in him if he went to the land down under. And, I mean, he's going to see a koala. He's going to see a kangaroo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If he doesn't try Vegemite, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's something wrong
We'll seem
there.
Weird.
Yeah.
He better have some stories to tell. Yeah. He better not be pulling those. Well, these were private things.
He could feed Vegemite to like a koala or a kangaroo, and that would make a good story where he doesn't have to actually eat the Vegemite.
That's true.
I don't know if it's something... I don't know anything about it, really, so
about
I don't know...
About Vegemite. If koalas would even eat it, or if, like, that's
or
against the law.
Or, yeah.
You can't feed them the Vegemite. Right.
It's specifically outlawed to feed Vegemite.
Because, you know, like you know, certain places, like zoos and stuff, like, no, you can't allow to feed the animals, so maybe...
Right.
They do the same thing there, like, don't feed the kangaroos... Like, Vegemite, don't...
Right. Like, they have big signs as you're entering the outback. Like, leave all of your
Vegemite
behind.
Yeah.
We do not want you to risk tainting the animal population.
It's crack for kangaroos. They love the Vegemite.
Right. It drives them mad.
They go mad. You don't want to see them go mad. And then it's just a close-up
shot. I
kind of
do.
Of
just
a kangaroo,
a little bit, at least.
Just standing there.
Yeah, you can't tell, but he's really mad.
He's raging mad. He wants Vegemite.
It's a slow stewing process for
exactly
anger.
I just imagine listeners out there like, stupid.
I think they think we're geniuses, but hey.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Geniuses.
But maybe geniuses has been diluted as much as amazing has. So maybe really geniuses.
I was just about to say amazing geniuses.
Yep. Yep. Anyway, I'll say it again one more time just in case that the dude that called missed it.
Uh-huh.
6 o'clock music meetings on Sundays. Bring your CD, but also click on the music submission. Fact, I think we...
Actually,
I think we might even have a PSA that talks about that, but I did already tell him to go on the on the website and click on submissions. But
which is probably what the PSA says.
Yeah, it's probably just all the exact same thing. Like, yeah, it's exactly what you just read. But yeah, it's not in here. But anyway, yeah, if any bands out there are listening and you want to get your CD played on our station, if you go to the website, kacu.org, click on music submissions, gives you all the details.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been told not to do this, but I would assume it would make sense. We hold music meetings at 6 on Sundays. If you live really close by and it seems sort of pointless to mail it, you know, like just come on down and talk to the music directors there. And
mm-hmm.
I'm sure it'll be okay, or I'll get yelled at for, you yeah. don't tell them to do that, but
entire torrent of people.
But hey, it gets them to the station, and that's the important thing, and all that stuff. So
that's true.
Anyway, thank you for joining us at Robots Attack. We are here every Thursday from 7 to 9-ish, and hopefully our fellow co-host Caleb comes back safe and sound for next week's show, and will beguile us with tales of lands down under. And
I cannot wait to be beguiled.
Yep.
I can't wait.
And Vegemite and koalas and all that stuff. And then we'll have a few other little surprises for the show. And hopefully it'll be sort of like the first official show of the new schedule.
Like I said, episode 1.
Exactly. So anyway, on behalf of myself, Joe, and Super Jason there.
Yes, right here.
In the corner, standing.
Mostly super.
We want to thank you again for listening to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU, Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We aren't the only talk show, though. We got a new, sports talk show. I think it's, Mondays, 9 o'clock. Check, if you go to KSCU.org, click on the schedule, you'll see. But, you know, pimp some of the other talk shows as well. And you can look at all the other shows we have on there. But
in a weird sort of way, it's like our polar opposite. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. They talk the sports. I had it on for a little bit just to kind of check it out to see what's it doing.
Okay.
It sounded good. I mean, if you're into sports, check them out. And then I think there's another talk show on Sundays that does, they talk about movie stuff as well. So,
okay.
And I think that one's been going for quite some time, but just
excellent.
Go to this KSCU.org, click on schedule, look at everything we have there,
or get up.
Yeah, or get up.
Yeah.
When you said that, it sounded like or get up. I was like, oh, thinking, I don't know really how getting up helps you, but maybe get up and get motivated to click on the link, and then I
either way, however it works.
It up.
Yeah.
Now it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm rambling and wasting everyone's time who wants me to put Robo DJ on and get to music. So anyway, again, we are Robots Attack, and please tune in next Thursday, 7 to 9-ish. And one final thing, like I mentioned earlier in the show, we like it when you participate on the show. You can go to our Facebook page, just search Robots Attack. Comment on any of the news stories we talked about here, even when we are off of the show, because we also make podcasts of our show at our website, robotsattack.me. We put up the podcast so you can listen to this show when it gets up there, as well as previous shows. And
at your leisure.
Exactly. You can download them off of iTunes as well. And comment on the Facebook page on stuff. Tell us what you're going to do this weekend and anything like that. Anything. It doesn't matter.
We love hearing from you.
We love it. Exactly. And you can email us, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And you can tweet us, robotsattackme.
Yeah, if you have any other cool customizations that you've done with your Tekken Tag characters.
Yeah.
Other than Fergie McFly.
Yeah. And what you're rolling with Borderlands 2. Any characters you're playing in there, or any of the games that came out this week.
Tell us about your favorite gun.
Yeah. Tell us about your panda, your killer panda, if you're playing the Miss.
Oh, and actually a cross between
the
Pandaria and the Borderlands.
Yeah,
sort of a little Panda Express Easter egg in the dust in Borderlands 2. So search around for it. It's kind of neat, which makes sense because it takes place on
Pandora?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Cool. Hopefully people will look out for that. All right. Take
Find
it easy,
Pandora
everyone.
Find your Pandora Easter
egg. Yeah.
Raccoon. Veronica. Mistel.